Thank you for this house to gather in. Thank you for the joy of fellowship with fellow believers. Father God, I know you have a word for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross today, that you would speak through me this morning by your Spirit, Father, that your message would clearly be proclaimed. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay, have you ever been in a situation where you made a statement or a comment but didn't realize until later that what you said was either completely inappropriate or maybe even offensive to the people that were around you? I bet everybody in this room can answer yes to that question. Okay. Years ago, during the 1980s, I worked for a construction company in Corpus Christi called Dixon Builders. It's a small, family-owned company. It consisted of Mr. and Mrs. Dixon and their son, Cliff, and me. So it was very small. I had known the family for several years. Actually, their son, Cliff, and I had become friends when we were in the eighth grade and remain friends to this day. When I was a young man, I did a whole lot of things with Cliff. We did, as young men do, a lot of great things together. We went hunting. My very first hunting trips for deer, for turkey, for dove, those were all done with Cliff and his family. That's actually where I love to learn to hunt. During our junior year in high school, Cliff and I were on our way to a baseball game, and we actually went to his dad's office trying to get his dad's blazer. We were in his mom's station wagon, and we were driving to his dad's office to get the blazer because Cliff wanted to go to the game in the cool car, not in the station wagon. Found out when we got there that his dad had already left the office, so we turned back around, and we were just going to have to deal with what we had and go to the game in the station wagon. On the way to the game, we were in a car accident, and I could tell you another long story about that accident, but that's not part of this message. Suffice it to say that within the difference of about 4 or 5 feet, I would not be standing before you today. I would have died that night. For whatever reason, God protected me in that situation, and I was not injured at all, but Cliff was seriously injured in that accident. He had a knee crushed, a knee and an ankle crushed at the same time. And as a result of those injuries, he spent 5 weeks in the hospital. It was a long process. And because he couldn't get around and couldn't make it to school, I ended up tutoring him for the rest of our junior year. I was in their home just about every day. I brought his assignments. Took his homework back to the teachers. I actually gave him his tests at home and took those back to his teachers. Basically did everything that was required for him to be able to complete his junior year. As a result of that time, I got very, very close to their family. I mean, Cliff and I had been friends for a while, but I spent a whole lot of time in their home and got very close to them. We ate lots of meals together. I would say... Because of Mrs. Dixon, if it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't have learned to love avocados the way I do today. She forced me to try them, and I found out that I loved them. So during that time, I got very, very close to the family, and so close that it almost felt like part of the family. As a matter of fact, for part of that time, I can't remember exactly what the time frame was, but I actually dated Cliff's little sister for a little while, too. So we got very close. I didn't know then, this is our junior year in high school, that several years later I would be working for them. But I had gone to college for a couple of years after I graduated from high school and went out into the oil field to work for a year and found out real quick that I did not want to be there. So I ended up coming back to Corpus Christi to go to work for Dixon Builders. And it was in the process of work. We were all in the office one day, And we were talking about a job that we had just sold that was way out west, what we would describe as out in the middle of nowhere. It was out on a ranch between Corpus Christi and Cotulla. As we were standing in the office talking about this, I guess maybe I was complaining a little bit, I was describing the fact that the job was a long way off, but I didn't use that phrase. In the midst of the conversation, when I was describing how far off the job site was, I said, it is out in BFE. I didn't use the abbreviation when I was speaking. I can see a few grins out there. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you probably don't. To give you what the phrase is, out in the middle of bum blank Egypt. Yes, the phrase includes the F word, okay? So I'm standing in conversation with my boss and his wife and my good friend, and I rattle this off in the conversation. Surprisingly, no one reacts. The conversation goes on. We go about the work of the day. Honestly, at that point, I hadn't even realized what I'd said. I believe that Miss Dixon, I guess, did not realize what I had said or didn't hear me well or something, because if she had, she had got up out of her seat and washed my mouth out of soap right there. But later, when we got home, later that day, when we got home, and I say we, at that time, Cliff and I were roommates as well, Cliff pointed out, do you realize what you said in front of my mom today? I said, what are you talking about? I said, we were talking about the job. You said, and I was like, I said that in front of your mother? I was shocked at how easily that kind of language came out of my mouth. Now, this is not an excuse. I had, previously to working for the Dixons, I had worked in the oil field for a year, and I heard lots and lots of very rough language every day. I'm sure there are many of you out in the workforce that are in similar situations today, where the language that you hear is not very pleasant sometimes. That really doesn't give us an excuse, and it didn't give me an excuse then. Unfortunately, in that particular situation, I realized that that kind of speaking had become a habit to me, and I needed to change that. So, y'all are sitting out there saying, okay, Jeff, that's a really cool story, but how does that apply to me? Well, I'd say it would apply to all of us, because all of us have been in similar situations. Now, you may not have been in a situation where you've been cussing in front of your boss, but we've all been in situations where we've said something that we knew was inappropriate, that was hurtful to whoever else may have been in the conversation, something that we wish we had never said. We've all been in that position. So we all have the same problem here. Let's look at what the Word says about how we deal with this particular problem in this situation, and what the Word says about why it is so important for us to control our speech. It's something that's very difficult to do. All of you would agree with that, I'm sure. Being God-honoring in our speech, the way the title of the sermon states, is challenging, something that's tough to do. So, as we get started this morning, please open your Bibles, and we're going to look at James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. That'll be our text today. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And I'll begin in verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Well, in this section of Scripture, James gives us a couple of reasons why we should learn to control our speech. But in the message today, I'm actually going to have 3 points. The first 2 points are James's 2 reasons why we should learn to control our speech. And point number 3, hopefully we're going to find some practical ways in how we can control our speech. There's a phrase that David uses just about every one of his messages. I've noticed that he hasn't used it in every one, but very often he uses it. He says, "This week, as you do what you do, as you live your life as a Christian." I really like that phrase because it implies application. This week, from what you hear today, the information that we get today, how are you going to apply it to the way you live? That's the purpose why we're here. All this knowledge that we gain, the wisdom from the Scriptures, it doesn't have a whole lot of value if we don't apply it to the way we live. That's the purpose. And that's why we're here today, to see what God's Word says and see how we can apply that in being successful in controlling our speech. So again, here's our outline. Point 1, our tongue may be a very small part of our body, but it can cause big problems. That's covered in verses 1 through 6. Point 2, we should not bless God and curse men with the same mouth. That's covered in verses 7 through 12. And point 3, practical ways of how we can control our tongues. So let's look at the first reason why we should control our speech. The tongue is small, but it can cause big problems. In verse 1, James tells us that not everyone should aspire to teach. So let's look at verse 1 again. "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." You all know that I'm a teacher. I teach Sunday school class. I've actually been teaching classes of one form or another since I was a sophomore in high school. This particular scripture is one that I take very seriously. When I teach, I try to be very careful to convey God's Word just the way He says it, and do that as clearly as I possibly can. But just because you may not be a teacher, you may not stand up here and preach, you may not teach Vacation Bible School, you may not do a lesson in children's church, that doesn't let you off the hook. Because all of us teach in one way or another. You parents, you all teach your children. Even for those of us who may not be parents, and thus I think this would apply to all of us, we all teach to a degree in the example we set and the way we live. People are always watching the way you live. So all of us, to some degree, are teachers. The fact that because we can all be described that way, and the Word says that we're going to fall under a stricter judgment, ought to motivate all of us to be careful in the way we use our tongues. Not just when we're talking specifically about the Word, but in the way that we relate to people all the time. Verse 2 describes the state of all men today. I'll read again. "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Anybody willing to raise their hand and say, I'm a perfect man today? Always keep it in check? No. No, none of us do. It's obvious that we all make mistakes. We all fall. As Paul says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Unfortunately, that's true daily. It's not just a one-time thing. We all fall short every day. But that shouldn't discourage us from trying to improve. In verses 3 and 4, James uses a couple of word pictures to describe the influence our tongue has on our whole body. Let me continue reading in verse 3 and 4. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. Well, like the bit in the horse's mouth or the rudder of a ship, our tongues tend to control the direction we go, the direction of our lives. We have quite a few horse people in our church family, and I'm sure every one of them would tell you, you can saddle up a horse, but if you fail to put on the bridle that holds the bit, it's going to be really difficult to control the direction that horse goes. Not easy to steer a horse if you don't have the reins, is it? The same thing is true of a ship or a boat. If you don't have a rudder, the wind just drives it in any direction. I'll give you an example from a couple of weeks ago when I was out fishing at the coast. I actually took some vacation time and took several of the kids, and we went fishing down at Port O'Connor. And we were out fishing in the bay one day, and we were what you call drift fishing. I don't know if anybody is familiar with that, but we're out in the middle of the bay, and we were lined up on a spot, and we were drifting across the bay. And I was standing at the wheel and had several of the kids lined up along the side of the boat. And the motor was off, but I was steering with the outboards down. I was steering back and forth to try to keep the boat pointed in a certain direction because we were drifting along a grass line that we were trying to fish. And as a result of me being there controlling it, the boat drifted nice and smoothly, and we fished all along that grass line, and I was able to maintain control. If I had trimmed the motors up and the lower unit of that outboard had not been in the water, the boat would have just turned and spun and gone whatever direction the wind pushed it. There would have been no control. So in our lives, we've got to figure out how to keep control. My question for you today is, who's in control of your tongue? Now, ultimately, the answer for all of us is you are, or we are. We're all in control of our own tongue. That is true. The next question is, who's in control of you? What has the most influence over your life? Or maybe I should say, who has the most influence over your life? Is it the spirit of the enemy of this world, the one that the Bible describes as the devil and Satan, the one who leads the whole world astray? Or are you being led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the one who guides you into all truth? For all of us, we can say both, because at times in our lives, sometimes we're under more influence of one than the other. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning, about our commitment to spend time with God. The more we do that, the more that we spend time in the Word, the more that we spend time in prayer and communication with God, the more we will be influenced by His Spirit and be in better control. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. They read this way. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. The tongue is here is described as a small spark that begins a huge fire. All of us in here have probably seen the video, and I mean, there are a great many wildfires going on around our nation right now as we speak today. Scott and Jennifer aren't here this morning, but I talked to Jennifer last week, after lunch last week. We were in the kitchen, and I was asking her about her parents' home and how she fared, or how they fared. They have a home in Ruidosa, and a few weeks ago there was a fire that came very, very close. To give you an idea how close, it burned their barn to the ground, and the intense heat got so close to their home that it actually broke windows. Now, it didn't destroy their home, and their home is repairable, but it got really, really close. We've all seen the video of fires today. A lot of the video that I saw, I believe it was last year when all the fires went through Bastrop. Man, some of that video looked like a war zone. The glow of the flames, and then afterwards, the devastation and the destruction that was shown. The question for us today is, as we walk and talk through life, what are we leaving in our wake behind us? Are we leaving a beautiful green forest, or are we leaving charred stumps and ashes with the way that we speak? Verse 6 says that our out-of-control tongue can corrupt our whole body, setting the whole course of our lives on fire. We have to consider the consequences of the things that we say. They can be far-reaching. They can have devastating consequences. Sometimes those consequences can be long-lasting, and in the context of the fire, can be impossible to extinguish. The ripples can go out and out and out. And we've seen where thousands and thousands of acres have burned, and hundreds of homes have been consumed just from the start of one small spark. It's quite a description that James gives us and the influence that we can have with the way that we speak. That leads us to our second point. James gives us the second reason why we should control our speech, because we shouldn't bless God and curse men with the same mouth. So let's look at verse 7. James says, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man." This is a pretty common thing. It's very evident for us. Right here down the road at SeaWorld, we have Shamu, the killer whale, that performs often. I'm sure we've all seen elephants and tigers and bears at the circus, you know, all these kind of things that man has tamed. I guess you could say man, to a degree, has tamed the wildest of beasts. But verse 8 tells us that no man can tame the tongue. Let me read verse 8 for you, too. "But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." When it says no man, it means exactly that. No one is exempt. And ladies, that includes you, too. All right? No man, no woman can control the tongue. Do you think that James is saying here, none of you can do it, so all of you just need to give up? I don't think that's what he's saying at all. It's amazing how often we use words that we spray out that are hateful and poisonous. In my case, it's way too often. I catch myself saying things that, as I said in the story earlier, I wish I'd never said. Unfortunately, when you say things, you can't pull them back. Once they're out there, it's kind of like you kids dealing on the internet. Once you put it out there, it's out there for everybody forever. There's no bringing it back. The same thing is true when we speak. So we need to be more careful and more calculating before we speak. God's Word sets a very high standard for us. He tells us in Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any big word. Do not let any unwholesome, some of your versions may say corrupt, talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Not any words. That's a very high standard, isn't it? Even though God sets a very high standard, he tells us that we can be successful in controlling our tongues, because he tells us in Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. I can hear you out there saying, okay, Jeff, sounds good. I know the scripture says we can do it, but how can we do it? Just wait. We'll get to that in point three. All right? James continues in verse 9, pointing out that we use the same mouth to bless God and curse men. So I'll read 9 through 12 here. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Using examples in nature, James makes the point that God made everything for a purpose. With the examples here, God made fig trees to produce figs. He made grapevines to produce grapes. He made freshwater springs to produce fresh water and saltwater springs to produce salt water. In the context of our community, I can speak from experience. He made pecan trees to produce pecans. I've worked thousands of pounds of those. God made everything in nature for a purpose. He made the sun to give us light and give us warmth. And all those things in nature are accomplishing the purpose that God made them for. Let me give you a memorable illustration here. God made our mouths and our backsides for different purposes, didn't he? So maybe we shouldn't use our mouth like a backside and spew filth. Maybe we should use our mouths the way God designed it, for praising him and for edifying and lifting up others. So far, James has given us two reasons why we need to control our speech. Let's look at point number three and find out how we can do it. First, if we want to please God and keep a tight rein on our tongues, we need to control our intake of things that influence the way we think. Dave loves to do this, and I find it interesting when he loves to make movie references. So I came up with a movie reference as well in the message today. Unlike Johnny Five from the movie Short Circuit, more input is not always good. Sometimes it's more important to control the value of the input. We are in information overload age today. We get tons and tons of it. And it's important that we control the best that we can what we take in. It's like what my computer programming professor said many years ago. Randall can relate to this. Garbage in, garbage out. If all we're taking in is garbage, that's all that's going to be coming back out. So we've got to control what we take in from all types of media, from internet, TV, movies, music, books, magazines. All of these things influence us every day. We're bombarded with information every day. And none of these things are evil in themselves, but every one of them has the potential to be harmful if we're not careful about controlling how we take it in. Second, if we want to please God, we need to obey his instructions. That means getting into the Word and see what it says. In Colossians 3, verse 2, he says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." Don't be consumed by the things of this earth. Focus your life. Again, we mentioned in Sunday school this morning about having a God worldview. Attempt to look at life the way God does, the way he's working out his purposes in the human condition, not just in our own wants and desires and seeking to satisfy our own will. In Philippians 4:8, he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about such things. Very clear instruction. The way we think influences the way we act and the way we speak. So we need to fill our minds with godly things as much as we can. Again, we're bombarded daily by ungodly things from all those types of media that I described a minute ago. But when we're following God's instruction, we will fill our minds with His truth and the knowledge that He gives us here. Romans 12:2 tells us, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. When he says transformed here, he means change the way you think. Think the way the Scriptures talk, not the way the world thinks. By renewing your mind in the Word, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. His Word tells us right there that it is possible to please God if we will renew our minds in His Word. But that renewal has to come daily. All of us have to spend time in the Word. I have made that commitment to discipline myself, to spend some time in the Word every single day of my life. And I use a devotional every morning to make sure that I spend some time in the Word every day. I try to do it in other ways as well. I know Mark listens to a lot of preaching on the radio, and I do the same thing. There's lots of ways that we can introduce godly information into our lives and continue to feed our minds with the good, because, as I said before, every one of us is bombarded every day with everything, with billboards, with the ridiculous commercials on television, all that. There's plenty of evil out there that's going to affect us every day. Controlling our tongue, just like any other spiritual discipline, takes time and it takes practice. I guess the question is, are we willing to change? Do we really want to become like Christ? Are we willing to commit to disciplining our lives so that we can be more like Christ? On Friday this week, I was talking to George Sistrunk in our Friday morning meeting. We just had a few guys this week. And we were talking about the process of sanctification, just that process, becoming more like Christ. It's a long process. It takes a lifetime, you know. And we all move along that process at different speeds. But it should be a continual growing process for each of us. If we're committed and we're disciplined in attempting to follow this Word, we will be slowly transformed in our lives to be more like Christ. We've got to be committed to doing it God's way, the way He describes in His Word. You remember the story that I told you at the beginning of the message? The Dixon family is still in business down in Corpus today. As a matter of fact, I talked to Cliff this week. I was down there delivering material, and I don't get to see him all that often, once a month maybe. But we talked about our kids and what they're doing to prepare for school and general family stuff, I guess. But we stay in touch, and I actually get to speak to Mr. and Mrs. Dixon fairly often as well. This is a family that I know very well, that they're godly people. They're people I have great respect for. When I look back at that moment when I said what I said, it bothered me that that kind of language came out of my mouth so easily. I knew when my friend pointed it out, the Spirit pricked my conscience. That should not happen. And I made a commitment at that time to try to change that, to try to not speak that way. I believe that God seared that memory into my brain. I mean, we're talking about something that happened almost 30 years ago, and I still remember it vividly because I believe God was trying to teach me a lesson there. And He can teach all of us a lesson through His Word, through the experiences in our lives, where we can try, where we can put into practice the instruction that He's given us, and attempt to do a better job as time goes by of controlling our speech. One of the things that what I've described here today is using profanity. But we're not talking about just vulgar language here. We're talking about anything that can be hurtful. Some people are very adept at using very pretty words to cut to the bone. Okay? It's talking about every way that we use our mouths to communicate. And as I read in the standard that was given before, we're not to let any unwholesome, any corrupt word come out. Now, yeah, that may be almost impossible for us, but as we strive to be more Christ-like in our lives, we can gain greater and greater control of those things and not allow our tongues to be that spark that starts a forest fire. We have a responsibility as God's children to keep control of our tongues and to honor God with our speech. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I thank You for this morning, Father. I thank You for Father, for the privilege of standing here and attempting to convey Your word. I pray, Lord, as we have all heard this, I have preached to everyone in this room and to myself as well, to follow the standard that You've given us, Lord, to discipline ourselves, to live a life that is honoring to You. And one of the most important things we need to do is honor You with the way we speak. You've told us in Your word that has great importance and it has widespread consequences. So help us, Father, to apply what we've heard today, to take Your word in and make it become wisdom in our lives that we can use to faithfully follow You. I thank You, Father, for the instruction that You give us in Your word. I pray that You would help us, Lord, that You would strengthen each of us to be obedient to that call, to accomplish that goal day by day as we seek to honor You with our lives. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.